Hello and welcome back to the Heart Song Yoga Podcast. I'm Kelly.
And I'm Sarah. And we thought we'd discuss all things food. Last week we finished with more to say about eating and food. And so we thought perhaps we could go more into the many aspects, because it is such a big topic, really, isn't it?
It is. It's an interesting one. And because, you know, it's so much more to it than just diet and nutrition. You know, you can sort of break it down into micro and macronutrients and calories in and calories out. And yet most people will find that that will not yield the results they're after.
Mm.
And there can be so much stress around food.
Mm. Yeah. So how can you simplify it, and what can you do, and how to take the guilt out of, you know, what you should and so-called shouldn't eat. It's worth looking into at all these layers. So, you know, there's many cultural aspects to food, and also there's that aspect of coming together to share food, and you know, how do people feel about sharing food, and what's that experience like compared to, especially if you live on your own, or if you have a situation where you have a lot of your meals on your own, what's that experience like then? And when you are on your own eating, how do you enjoy your meals? Do you make a ritual out of them, or do you grab your food and take it to the television or to your desk? That's how this came about from last week, I think.
And is eating there anything at your wrong desk. With that, you know?
Like, yes,
And, you know, I mean, eating at your desk is I think, you know, it's messy. But it's not always a bad thing. I think there's a novelty sometimes that I used to find with, like, and I think, you know, to me, it's, you have routine, but you also have to break that at times, because you always, like, I, for my personality, at least, I will start to take routines for granted. But, you know, I used to sort of find that when I worked in an office environment, typically you would go out for lunch, you know, or you'd take your lunch to a desk, like to a table or to the lunchroom or whatever it is. And then every now and then there would be an event, like a lunchtime seminar or something like that. And so you'd all take your lunch. And there was something exciting about that. Like, it was sort
And that's that coming together in community, I think, to eat together.
I suppose so,
Share that experience, which is very enriching.
And that it breaks the routine a little bit of always doing the same thing, which I think is important for food.
Yeah, and adds that extra component to, you know, it, this way of nourishing ourselves, because it is a form of nourishment, can be more than the food we eat. So, you know, we can actually influence the vibration of the food we eat. So, for example, you know, giving a blessing, you know, traditionally praying before a meal, or just blessing silently your food before you eat it. Doesn't have to be a public display.
No.
It could be just that you hold your hands around the bowl, around the plate, and you give your own gratitude for it, I suppose, as to, you know, all the aspects of that landing in front of you go back to so many steps to get there. You know, who grew the food? Where did it grow? Who cultivated it? Who harvested it? Where did it come from? Where did you buy it from? Who cooked it? All those things, isn't it? An appreciation of that we can add richness and more meaning to life by noticing these little everyday things, because at the end of the day, it's all those little things that add up to meaning, as opposed to waiting for the next big event to bring in joy or gratitude.
I was thinking, just what sort of snagged my thoughts while you were saying that, was that we'll often give gratitude to the cook when we are not the cook. But when did you last thank yourself for preparing food for yourself?
That's a good point, Kelly. That is such a good point.
And it's always so nice to be cooked for, you know. So extend some of that thankfulness to yourself if you are your primary cook.
It is so nice to be cooked for. It's something quite nourishing about someone preparing food for you.
It's like, and that I thing think, that a sandwich always tastes better when someone else made it.
And I think it's that part of, you know, traditionally a role that women have played mostly, that is such a thankless task and can easily become a chore. And these little aspects get missed out of it because it's another thing you have to do. for people when, you know, I think that's why sometimes you often hear women say, oh, I don't care what I have as long as I don't have to cook it.
Yeah.
You know, just anything, just whatever can be put in front of me that I don't have to get.
Yeah. And even my feeling, I think I've said it before, that, you know, there are days when if I could just take a pill that gave me all the nutrients I needed and not have to think about food for the day, that would be great. It's like, it is the case of I don't have the time or the energy right now to go and prepare food properly. And I don't enjoy eating junk food because I don't have time. I have nothing against junk food. When you're in the mood for a junk food binge, that's fine. Yeah. But I don't like eating sort of things that are not ideal because I don't have time to do something better. And
yes.
And, so those are the days when I just be like, oh, can I just take a, you know, is there something I can just sort of quickly have that meets the nutritional requirements of the day and then not have to think about this? And it is a case of if someone cooked for me, I would happily sit down and take the time to eat it, but
I'd
be grateful for it. So I think, you know, extending some of that kindness to yourself.
Good idea. Good point. Yeah, I really didn't think about that. One thing I do is when I'm cooking for an event, so for example with my Sunday soul spas, I take time out on the day before on the Saturday to prepare the morning tea, and usually it's that I make a special cake or something for it, and I light a candle in the kitchen, and it's quite a ritual. It's quite a lot goes into that, in as far as it's imbued with that energy of connecting with those people. It's almost like projecting forward that time when we will share this food together and what it's infused with. So infusing it with that light and gratitude for people coming together to be with like-minded souls. And I often do that if I'm cooking in the kitchen for a special meal, but I tend not to do it so much for everyday meals. But like you said, it's like blessing the cook, bless yourself if you haven't got anyone appreciating that aspect of what you're doing, because it is so valuable. And culturally, you know, you look at some traditions where the cultures coming together around food is so important. It brings people together, and traditions get passed on and recipes get passed on. And that's nice.
The cultural aspect is what eventually sort of became more paramount to me, and I spent quite a few years exploring lots of different and very strict diets. And ultimately it came down to having a diet that is not anywhere near what your culture eats is so isolating that it's not sustainable. And so you either need to build a community or join a community where they all eat what you want to eat, or you sort of go, okay, there's more to this than, once again, it's not just about the biochemistry. There's a whole lot of cultural factors that come into play, and I don't think there is any one solution for any one person.
There are
as many diets as there are people in the world, and so it's up to you to sort of find what works for you, and that's going to be a combination of all these factors. Some, you know, yes, you're going to have some intolerances perhaps, or some foods that work better for you physically than others, but you're also going to have some cultural connections that are really important to nurture, and that has just as much value as the nutritional content. And so it sort of came down to me to the stress one of having to sort of manage a diet so strictly became counterproductive. Whatever benefit I was gaining from following such a strict supposedly healthy diet was largely being offset by the stress that came out of it, especially around trying to also juggle work and get lunch in a, you know, half hour bracket when there was nothing open that sold anything that I wanted to eat. So I'd have to make it myself. You know, it just all got so difficult to manage. And then the never being able to go out and eat and drink with people or go out and eat and drink with people and relax and enjoy it and not be paranoid about what was in my food. And so, you know, it sort of becomes quite dysfunctional. And
yeah.
I think those social elements of being, you know, connected to your community or family or people around you is so important. But
yeah,
if your diet choices and other lifestyle choices are eliminating that, you know, that can add a different level of unwellness, I suppose.
Yeah, definitely. It comes back to that holistic approach again, doesn't it? And perhaps asking, you know, why are we eating and what is it, what purpose is it serving?
I think that's a really good question to ask. Why are you eating right now? Always ask that. And because it's social and I'm out with friends and we're all sharing a bowl of wedges is a perfectly good reason to be eating. Obviously, if you're out with friends eating junk food every day or multiple times a day, well, that might be a problem for you. But some people it doesn't.
Yes.
You need to be in touch with your body for that. But any time, like, you know, if you're picking at chips at your desk at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, why are you eating right now? Is it because you're bored or tired or you need a walk or a break or
you
know, you're sitting down for dinner? Why am I eating right now? Are you actually hungry, or are you just eating because, well, you know, it's dinner time?
It's worth questioning.
Your body actually like to fast tonight? It's worth asking.
It's one of those things. If we don't make the space to ask, then nothing changes. And foods and meal times related to work routines and lifestyle routines can become very habitual. So it's good to challenge and ask, because things change. And I've noticed over the last few years for me, I can only eat 2 meals a day now. So intermittent fasting is very easy for me, and it's a great leveler for controlling weight. So we all change, and this whole world's changing continually. So if you don't stop and just have an open mind and ask the question, why am I eating? And are the foods that I'm eating serving me? You know, what do I get from the foods I'm eating, and how do I feel after I've eaten them? And taking the time to notice how you feel after what you've eaten, so you can make adjustments, because ultimately we're all evolving at different rates, and we do need to have that awareness of how does this fit, why am I eating it, and how does it make me feel? And if you're continually eating and then thinking, oh no, I wish I hadn't eaten those extra 5 spoonfuls, or then stop and don't do it next time. Make some changes, or no, that food didn't really leave me feeling very well. Well, perhaps order something different or create something different for yourself next time, because we need to look at what the food's doing for us and how's it affecting our whole being.
Yeah, and I think also a perfectly valid reason is, you know, pick up a chocolate biscuit and go, why am I eating this? Because it's delicious and it's what I feel like right now. And, you know, that's perfectly fine. If you get through the entire packet in 5 minutes, then maybe you want to ask yourself a question again.
Yeah.
And you might find that your response is a little bit different, and you might, okay, why am I eating this right now? Because I'm emotional over some bad news. Or, you know, like sort of start to get in touch with those things.
And get in touch with the feelings associated with the eating.
Why are you eating this? What effect is it having? How would you adjust going forward?
Yeah, because in yoga we have something called the gunas, the three gunas, and they're sort of related to nature. And it's like these gunas are sattva, raja, and tamas. So it's like sattvic foods. Sattvic is very elevating. They're light foods. They draw us towards more goodness, more truth. It's like, you know, foods for your spirituality, if you like. And they're usually calming and cleansing. And they give you, I suppose they could be considered as prana-rich foods. And rajasic eating is then that it might not be good or bad, but it's sort of activating food. And it's like foods that are cooked and spicy, and they stimulate the juices within you, I suppose. And then there's the tamasic food, which is more that heavier food. You know, you might think of tamasic food as like potatoes and starchy breads, and in that could come your, you know, your alcohol drinks and deep fried foods, and they come into these sort of brackets. Pardon?
Comfort foods.
Comfort foods that are heavier. And so if you start to think about, so why am I wanting these comfort foods? And there might be a reason, like you say, and these are very seasonal too. So check in with the seasons. So, you know, in coming into autumn, winter, we do want more comfort foods, and it's really necessary that we change our diet to reflect the seasons, and that we do have more of those then, because we know that springtime is going to be coming around the corner, and that's usually when we have the opportunity then to lighten up and go more sattvic in our diet and eat lighter, more purifying foods.
I think the other challenge though is the judgment that comes with that. Like when you're talking about that, the first thing you think of is, well, sattvic must be better.
Well, it's not about being better. It's about balance. It's about that holistic balance in life, isn't it? Because we can't sit there all the time, or we'd, you know, if you sit in that sapphic state, I was going to say you'd float up in the clouds. And as human beings, as these souls having these human experiences, we're actually here to be human and to be able to enjoy from a soul perspective all those aspects. So
and be connected to the earth.
Yeah, if you love potato chips, well, have some potato chips, and but then keep the balance. It's like, you know, balance it out, but don't beat yourself up about it. It's like you said with the, you know, chocolate biscuits. You know, if you find yourself eating a packet, well, then yeah, you could have a bit of a problem, and you're going to notice that, because we do want to feel in ourselves that we're honoring this body temple at the same time. And we can have it all, but we need to keep a balance. And it's when that balance becomes out of whack that we need to then start asking and questioning, okay, what's gone wrong? Why am I eating this? Mm. Is it appropriate that I'm eating this now? And what am I avoiding, or what am I trying to numb out? What habit am I creating that might not serve me down the track?
And I think that's, you know, especially with things like alcohol and so on, it's, you know, if you're having a glass of wine because you enjoy the taste of the wine, and it's, you know, maybe you're sharing it with a friend, maybe it's a celebration, maybe you're sitting down with a book and having a bath and a glass of wine, and that's a nice relaxing time for you.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And savour it and enjoy it and feel good about it. If you are drinking, you know, every night because you need that to get to sleep, then that might be a problem. So it's really just about being aware, and it's not even about volume or quantity. It's about the why, and how are you engaging with this food, and what does it mean? And I think, you know, there's a lot to explore there, beyond just, oh well, you know, it's breakfast time, so I shall eat breakfast, you know.
Yeah, and that comes down to these social norms, like, you know, start questioning, well, do I even need breakfast? Where did breakfast come from? Where did it come from? You know, do marketing. I need it
marketing
and to sell more Kellogg's cornflakes, you know, like, it's really challenged that, and then just think it's a habit. And at first it was harder. It was like breaking those habits for me was harder. But now it's really hard for me to eat early in the day. And my body can't really take in any more than two meals a day. So it's like, if you really listen to your body, it is so wise. It will guide you as to what you need. So can you do a little experiment and use yourself as the lab and say, what's my body craving? What would it feel like if I ate that? What's it really want?
And forget the theory, you know, like throw out if your body is like, no, I'm feeling like potato soup with crusty bread, and, you know, then go with that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, assuming that you don't have any intolerances to any of those things or allergies, then, you know, let your body tell you what it wants, and you'll learn, I think, also what it means. Like, sometimes it'll be, well, potato chips, actually maybe salt, and maybe – because it can be, you can end up with a diet that is salt deficient if you go down the, you know, sort of healthy route, salt reduced, etc. You do need some salt, good salt.
Definitely.
And so, you know, it's worth sort of paying attention. If your body's telling you it wants something, you know, it could be that there's magnesium, you know. So there is some theory to it too, that you can sort of understand. But ultimately it's just a matter of take the guilt away, I think.
And tune in and ask, because we just don't ask. And we have this innate wisdom within us that hasn't got a hope of getting its voice out if we don't stop long enough to ask it, and we just keep stuffing food down because that's what we've been led to be normal. So ask the question, honour your body temple, and just say, you know, what would it feel like if I didn't have this now? What might I want instead? And do I need to eat right now, or could I eat in an hour's time? Throw your whole routine out. Throw it up in the air and see what comes out.
And that's why I think sometimes it is good to kind of jar yourself a little bit. If you always have lunch at the same spot at the table at the same time every day, you know, one day take your lunch to a different room, or take it to your desk and watch a video while you're eating, or just do something to sort of throw that routine out. And and don't make habits of these things, because I think habit is not usually helpful when it comes to food and eating. You know, just sort of notice and pay attention.
And see if you can just, you know, spiritualize your cooking. Bless the cooks, and that.
Yes.
And if that's you, then bless yourself for what you're doing and the nourishing that you are creating.
Indeed.
Let it nourish you.
Let all things nourish you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for listening.
We'll be back next week.
Bye.
Bye.